నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయం ఉదీరయే. నష్టప్రాయేషు అభద్రేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయా భగవతే ఉత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతి నైశికీ. ఓం అజ్ఞాన తిమిరాంధస్య జ్ఞానాంజన శలాకయ చక్షురుణ్మిలితం యేన తస్మై శ్రీ గురవే నమః. ముఖం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగుం లంఘయతి గిరిం యత్కృపా తమహం వందే శ్రీ గురు దీన తారిణిం పరమానంద మాధవం శ్రీ చైతన్యైశ్వరం. నమో విష్ణుపాదాయ కృష్ణపృష్ఠాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామీతి నామినే. నమస్తే సరస్వతీ దేవీ గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాదీ పాశ్చాత్య దేశ తారిణే. నమో మహావిధన్యాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేమ ప్రదాయతే కృష్ణాయ కృష్ణ చైతన్య నామ్నే గౌరహ్యై నమః. పంచతత్వాత్మకం కృష్ణం భక్తరూప స్వరూపకం భక్తవతారం భక్తాఖ్యం నమామి భక్తశక్తికం. హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధు దీనబంధు జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికా కాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే. తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి వృషభాను సుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే. వాంఛాకల్పతృభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్యేవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. జై శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శివాసాది గౌర భక్త వృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. Yes, so thank you. We have been discussing from Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto. Currently we are in the ninth chapter of second canto, which is the questions asked by Lord Brahma. So answering the question citing Lord's vision. So Brahmaji performed austerities as per the instructions or inspiration of the Supreme Lord, and being pleased by the austerities of Brahmaji, Lord gave his darshan to Brahmaji. He appeared in front of Brahmaji. He gave darshan of his spiritual world and what are the activities performed in spiritual world. Then Brahmaji was able to see the Lord face to face. Lord shook hand with Brahmaji, kind of giving him assurance. And then he told Brahmaji that seeing me face to face, having my darshan face to face, is the biggest benediction one can achieve. Apart from that, if you still have any other desire, if you want to ask for anything, if you have any questions, feel free to ask. So Brahmaji asked 4 questions. First question was, I want to know about your transcendental form and your form when you appear in the material world. So I want to know about your transcendental form and the form you accept when you appear in the material world. Second question is, I want to know about your energies, your spiritual energies and material energies, how you utilize those energies for the purpose of creation, maintenance, and annihilation. Third question is, how you act along with your energies. What is your relationship with your energies? And the fourth question, it was not actually a question, it is kind of a request, that when I engage in this process of creation, as per your instruction, when I engage with the modes of ignorance and modes of passion, please help me so that I don't get entangled by these lower modes, so that I don't become proud, thinking that I am the supreme, I am doing so wonderful task. So these were the four questions asked by Brahmaji. And Lord, in response to this question, is going to answer that. So this is seven set of verses spoken by Lord Vishnu to Brahmaji. In some sampradaya, they consider it as a seven shloki bhagavat. Like Ballavacharya ji, they consider it as a seven shloki bhagavatam. Lord answering these in seven verses. In other sampradaya, in our sampradaya, Gaudiya Vaishnava sampradaya, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and before that Jiva Goswami ji, they describe it as Chatur Shloki Bhagavatam. So out of total seven verses, the four verses are considered as the seed verses of Bhagavatam, Chatur Shloki. And the two initial verses is Lord is instructing what you get out of hearing this Chatur Shloki. What will be the end result of hearing this Chatur Shloki Bhagavatam? And the last verse, the seventh verse, is Lord is describing how one should implement this knowledge. So how one should implement this Chatur Shloki Bhagavatam. So these are the seven set of verses known as Chatur Shloki Bhagavatam. So the first two verses, as I said, is a prelude to the Chatur Shloki. This is Lord is describing that what you get out of learning this Chatur Shloki, after hearing this Chatur Shloki. Shri Bhagwan Uvacha Jnanam Param Guhyam Me Yad Vijnana Samanvitam Sarahasyam Tadangam Cha Brihan Gaditam Maya. So Lord is describing that this knowledge about me is very confidential. Jnanam Param Guhyam Te. This knowledge is very confidential. What is the knowledge? Knowledge about my form, knowledge about my activities, knowledge about my various incarnations. So this is in one sense very confidential knowledge. Jnanam param guhyam me. And how one should understand this knowledge? Yad vijnana samanvitam. One should not just understand it theoretically, but one should realize this, understand it with realization. Vijnana. Vijnana means practical experience. Like in schools, we have Gyan and Vigyan. Gyan is the theoretical knowledge. Vigyan is equipped with, along with the practical experience. So, yat Vigyan samanvitam. So, one should understand this with actual realization. Sarahasyam. Sarahasyam means also the method to realize this knowledge. So, I'm going to explain to you the method also, how to realize this knowledge. Sarahasyam. And that method to realize this knowledge is ultimately prema bhakti. And tad angam cha. And the means to attain that prema bhakti. So within the prema bhakti, there are different limbs. So how to attain that prema bhakti? Tad angam cha. So grihan gaditam maya. Listen to me very carefully. So Lord is explaining that this knowledge which I am going to speak to you is very confidential, but you will be able to understand it with proper realization. And I am going to explain to you the means to realize that knowledge, and also the means to attain that method. So as in Bhagavad Gita also, Lord Krishna explains to Arjuna that whatever knowledge I am going to speak to you now is the most confidential knowledge. And you are non-envious of me and a devotee of me. That's why I am revealing that knowledge to you. Idam tu te guhyattamam pravakshyami anusuyave jnanam vijnana sahitam yat gyatva mokshase shubhat. So here also Lord Krishna says, idam tu te guhyattamam. So there is guhya, guhyattara and guhyattamam. Like the good, better, best. Confidential, more confidential and most confidential. Guhyattamam. Idam tu te guhyattamam pravakshyami anasuyave. I am revealing that knowledge to you because you are not envious of me. Jnanam vijnana sahitam. You will understand this knowledge along with the realization. Yat gyatva. After knowing this, mokshase ashubhat. You will be able to attain the final goal, the ultimate goal of life, the liberation, coming back to the spiritual world. So Lord says, please hear to me what I am going to speak to you or what I am going to reveal to you. And this knowledge, what are the characteristics, qualities to understand this knowledge? One has to be non-envious. Until there is envy in the heart, either envy to Lord Krishna directly or there is envy to the devotees of the Lord, one cannot understand this knowledge in tattvata, in completeness, in full realization. And one has to be a complete devotee of the Lord. And another characteristic of that knowledge is that knowledge can be understood only by revelation, only by the mercy of the Lord. When Lord reveals to him, then only we can understand him. We cannot understand the Lord based on our own mental speculation, based on our own sense perception. But when the Lord himself tells the knowledge about himself, then we can understand him. And this is what Lord Vishnu is going to explain in the next verse also. So in this verse he said, I'm going to explain to you this knowledge, reveal to you this knowledge about my transcendental form, qualities, activities, my energies. And you will be able to understand this knowledge by following the proper process. So not just to a theoretical knowledge, but with realization. And in the next verse, Lord described, Yavan aham yatha bhavo yad rupam guna karmakah tathaiva tattva vijnanam astute mad anugrahat. Mad anugrahat. So astute mad anugrahat. Let it be revealed to you by my causeless mercy. Mad anugrahat. So that is the most important word, the key word in this verse, that all the knowledge about me regarding my actual eternal form or my transcendental existence, the form in its various colors, in its various incarnations, all the qualities of me and my activities. So all this knowledge about me, yavan aham yatha bhavo yad rupam guna karmaka yad rupam. My form in various colors, guna, my qualities, karmakaha, my activities in all these various forms. So you will be able to understand all that. Tathaiva tattva vijnanam, in completeness, tattvatah, astute mad anugrahat, because of my causeless mercy. So Lord Vishnu is describing, I'm going to reveal to you my forms, my qualities, my activities. So when the Lord says, yad rupam, my form, it means it is not formless. As sometimes the people, mayavadis, impersonalists, they propose that Lord has no form. It is just some energy. It is just some light, it is just some effulgence. No, it's not like that. Lord has his form. And this form is in various colors. Sometimes Lord appear in red color, sometimes yellow color, sometimes black color, sometimes green color, sometimes white color. So Lord appears in many different forms, in many different colors, and he performs many different pastimes. And what is his significant quality? He has affection for his unalloyed devotees. Gunah. So that is the quality of the Lord. His significant quality is he is affectionate towards his unalloyed devotees. And Lord appear in this material world because of that affection. He comes to protect his devotees, to destroy the demoniac forces, and ultimately to attract the people by his wonderful leelas. Lord come to protect the Brajavasis. He did many wonderful leela to protect the Brajavasis when all the demons were attacking. Lord Krishna killed all those demons. So he come to kill the demons. Out of his affection for the Brajavasis, he lifted the Govardhan hill on the pinky finger of his left hand, holding it as an umbrella for 7 continuous days and night to protect all the Brajavasis from the downpour of this rain, which was falling like the pillars. So Lord Krishna, Lord Vishnu, he has affection towards his devotees. And he performs many wonderful leelas. He comes in the form of Narasingha Dev, he comes in the form of Lord Ramachandra, comes in the form of Lord Krishna. And he does many wonderful leelas just to attract the heart of his devotees, to attract them to come back to the spiritual world. So Lord is saying, I am going to reveal all that information about me out of my causeless mercy. So just like a father may have many children, but father may not reveal all the secrets of his business to all the children. He revealed all the secrets to only a son who is his pet son, who is a caring, more responsible son. So same way the Lord does not reveal himself to everybody, especially to people who are envious of him, who do not want to follow the instructions, the laws of the God. So Lord also reveals himself to only his devotees. So here the significant word is astute tat mat anugrahat. And I'm going to give you that knowledge along with the realization. And the real realization, it means the effect of realization has to be there. For example, if somebody from a different part of the world, let's say somebody from South Africa or somewhere, he comes to India and he goes to a sweet shop, halwai ki dukaan par jata hai. He sees so many varieties of sweets. He sees the rasgullas. He has never seen the rasgulla before. He has never heard about the rasgulla before. After seeing this round ball, white color, white texture, because he has never heard of it, he does not start salivating. Aisa nahi hai ki usko dekhne ke baad usko immediately uske muh mein pani aane lagega. क्योंकि उसने रसगुल्ले के बारे में पहले कभी सुना नहीं है, कभी देखा नहीं है. अनलेस ही हैज दैट एक्सपीरियंस, ही डज नॉट गेट दैट इफेक्ट. बट इफ समबडी हैज हर्ड अबाउट रसगुल्ला, ही हैज टेस्टेड अबाउट इट, जस्ट हियरिंग द नेम रसगुल्ला और जस्ट सीइंग द रसगुल्ला, इमीडिएटली द माउथ स्टार्ट वाटरिंग, ही स्टार्ट्स सलाइवेटिंग. बिकॉज द रियल रियलाइजेशन मीन्स the effect of that realization has to be there. So same way, when we want to understand the Lord, when we say, I have got some realization, it means the effect of that realization has to be there. For example, when I say, oh, I have realized this material world is full of misery. See, we may just hear this, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Dukkhalaya Shashvatam. So just hearing that, theoretically understanding it is one thing. But when we really come to a realization, yes, I have experienced it so many times. This material world definitely is a place of misery. So after realizing this, some effect has to be there. That effect is, now I want to do something to go out of this material world. I do not want to continue staying in this material world, trying to become comfortable in this material world. So what is that effect? So one, try to execute devotional service to the Lord so that he can go beyond this material world to his eternal position. And Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, he says, Janama karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tattvatah tyakto deham punarjanma na eti mam eti so Arjuna. Janma karma cha me divyam. My appearance and my activities are all transcendental. And if somebody can understand these in its tattva, evam yo veti tattvatah tyakto deham. After leaving this body, he does not come back in this material world. He attains to his eternal nature, spiritual world. So one may think, oh, just understanding, accepting that Krishna's activities and his appearances are all transcendental. So it's that easy, it's that simple. So I accept that Krishna's appearance and his activities are transcendental. But it is not that simple. One has to realize this, not just theoretically accept that, but one has to realize this. And that's why in the next verse itself, Krishna says, what is the effect of accepting? Janam karma cha me divyam. So one has to have the effect also of accepting this, of realizing this. And what is that effect? Bhitarag bhaya krodha manmaya mamupashvitaha. He is freed from anger, attachment, fear, bhit, rag, bhaya, krodha. And what is next? Manmaya mamupashrita. He takes shelter of me. So accepting something, there has to be effect of that also. So here Krishna is saying, I am going to reveal all this information to you. So Lord Vishnu is speaking to Brahmaji, I am going to reveal the information about my transcendental form, my eternal form, my qualities, my activities in tattva, and you will be able to understand it with realization out of my causeless mercy. So that is the effect of hearing this Chatur Shloki Bhagavat. And now, finally, Lord is going to speak that knowledge, answering the questions of Brahmaji. So Brahma asked four questions. First question was, I want to know about your eternal transcendental form and how you accept various form in this material world. So answering to that question, here is the first verse of the Chatur Shloki. Aham eva asam eva gre nanyad yat sad sat param paschadaham yat ittacha yo avashishet so asmai aham. So Brahma, it is I, the personality of Godhead, who was existing before the creation. Aham eva asam eva agre. Nanyad yat sat asat param. When there was nothing else, when there was no material nature, the cause of this creation, I was the one existing before creation. Paschadaham yat itcham. This is I, you see now. So when this whole material world is existing, that also, that is the, I am the only who is existing. Yo avashishet so asmi aham. And when there is nothing left, after annihilation also, whatever remains also is I, the personality of Godhead. So before creation it was me. During the creation, it is me. And after the annihilation, it is me. So I exist before, in the middle, and at the end also. So one may think, how is this verse explaining the material and spiritual forms of the Lord? How is it elaborating on that verse? So if we understand the deep meaning of this, This is what Lord is explaining about his transcendental eternal form. So Agre literally means before. Aham eva asam eva agre. In context, it means I am the one who existed before. So literally it means I am the one who existed before. But in the context way, if we see, it means it is I who existed before what? Before the creation. Aham eva. Aham eva means nobody else. Me alone. Certainly it is I who existed. There was nobody else. Nor you, nobody else in this material world. So all this is in reference to the material creation. Because in spiritual world, there is no creation, no annihilation. And we are talking about the creation. When we are talking about the maintenance or annihilation, it is in reference to the material world. So in before this material creation, I existed. And during this material creation, when this material world is existing, that time also I am existing. And after this material creation has been winded up, it has been annihilated, I still exist. So in spiritual world, Lord exists eternally. And along with the Lord, all the other Nitya Siddhas also exist along with the Lord. So before creation of the material world, Lord expand as Purusha avatars, as Mahavishnu, for the purpose of this creation. And before the creation started, it is said that nobody was in action, right? Nothing was happening, no action was happening. So what was Lord doing before? In spiritual world, he is residing eternally with his eternal associates, Nitya Siddhas. And in spiritual world, he is performing his activities. But in material world, nothing was going on before. So when we say nothing, he was not doing anything, does not mean he was not doing anything at all. In spiritual world, he is doing his activities. So just to understand, consider the example of a king or a government. When we say the king is not functioning, the king is not performing any action, or the government is not performing any action, it means their king is not doing his kingly duties. The government is not performing their government responsibilities. But whatever people are in the government position, they are doing some activities. The king at home, he may be doing certain activities. He is playing with his children. He is eating. He is sleeping. He is performing various activities. It is just that he is not doing his activities in the role of the king. So same way, the Lord, before the material creation, in reference to the material creation, he was not doing any activity, but his activities are still happening in the spiritual world. And during the creation also, Lord is performing his various activity. He appeared in many different incarnations. So that's why Lord is saying, in the process of creation, during this whole manifestation also, I am the one who exists. Paschadaham yattaicham. I am the one who is existing that time also. And yo avashishet, so asmi aham. When this material world is annihilated, everything winds up within Mahavishnu. That time also is in I am the one who remains. And he is remaining eternally in his spiritual world also. In all the various forms. All the avatars which Lord takes, how he appears in this material world, all these forms eternally reside in the spiritual world. So here, if we look from the Vedantic perspective deeply, it is explaining about the transcendental eternal forms of the Lord. Sometimes people think that Brahman is superior, or Brahman is the cause of all this creation. Brahman is beyond the cause and effect. So Lord is saying, I am non-different from the Brahman. Brahman is superior to cause and effect, sat asat pare. And people try to understand that Brahman by neti neti philosophy. It is not this, it is not this. But one should understand that I am non-different from that Brahman, which is beyond this cause and effect. So many scripture, many of the Upanishads, Vedas, they sometime indicate that everything manifested from Brahman. But we, the followers of bhakti cult, we say based on Bhagavatam that Bhagwan is the one from whom everything manifested. So how to reconcile these two statements? At one point it says Brahman is the cause of all the manifestation. At another point it says Bhagwan is the cause of all the manifestation. How to reconcile these two statements? Because Bhagwan is non-different from Brahman, or one say Brahman is non-different from Bhagwan. Brahmeti Bhagwaneti Pramatmeti. So Brahmeti Pramatmeti Bhagwaneti Shabdeti. These are the three aspects of the Supreme Lord. And when in the scripture it is specifically talking about Brahman being the cause of manifestation, because it is not yet revealing to the level of Bhagwan based on the qualification of the audience. So we have quoted this example many times, example of the train. If somebody is trying to understand the train from very far away, he hears the sound of train coming, and from very far away he may think a big source of light, headlight, in front of the train. And one may conclude that this light is the source of this sound. Now in one sense that is not wrong, but is incomplete statement, because the light itself may not be the source of the sound, but still it is part of the object from where the source is, sound is coming. Ultimately behind the light there is engine, and from engine this sound is coming up, but one is not able to see that engine. He is just seeing the light from that far away. So same way Brahman could be understood as the source of all the manifestation of material world when one does not have the full, complete knowledge about the Bhagwan aspect. So in this verse, in a very Vedantic way, Lord is explaining about his form, his eternal transcendental form, and how he come in this material world during its existence also for the purpose of its maintenance, and after the annihilation still he remains. So after creation, I only exist in the form of Purusha and many incarnation. After dissolution also I only exist. Everything enters into Mahavishnu and Lord still remains in its spiritual world. And one more way of understanding this verse, or what this verse could reveal, is this could reveal our own individual identity also. It could give us this realization, who am I actually? I am the one who existed before this body was manifested, right? The living entity before this body. And now during this body also, it is residing within this body. So it is existing when this body is existing. And when this body is annihilated, still the soul, the living entity, continue to exist. So the soul existed before creation of this body. It is existing during this body's presence, and it is continue to exist before, after this body has perished also. And one could understand that realization also from this verse. The another important point to understand, there is a difference in the Supreme Lord and all other living entities. When Lord is specifically saying, I am the one who existed before. So this I is different from the I which Brahma is referring to. The I referring to the Supreme Lord is different from Brahma, or different from all the other living entities. And sometimes people think, oh, everything ultimately is one. Everything manifested or emanated from the Supreme Lord for the purpose of expanding himself into many. The Lord did this creation. Yes, that is true, but all the manifestation, all the different living entities are part and parcel of that Supreme Lord. They are not equal to the Supreme Lord. They are still different. There is a simultaneously oneness and difference. In quality, we are one with the Supreme Lord, but we are having those qualities in minute aspect. In that way, we are different from the Supreme Lord. Sometimes people think there is a concept of many gods or one god or no god. There is a very popular theory, philosophy. It says at the time of uncivilization, people consider so-called uncivilization at earlier age when there was no civilization, people believed in the concept of many gods. And as the evolution happened, people became little more civilized. People came to the concept of one God. And as people will evolve further, they will become more civilized. They will become more educated. They will understand there is no God. So that is leading to atheism. That is the so-called modern civilization. That earlier people were accepting many God. Now they are coming to the point of one God. And ultimately they will come to the conclusion there is no God. Everything is existing by itself. There was nobody who created this material world, or who is maintaining this, or who is imposing any laws within this material world. But that is the wrong philosophy. Here, the Supreme Lord is describing, I was the one who existed before creation. I am the one who is existing now, and I will continue to exist after the destruction of this material creation. And there are some other people who think I am God. I was the one who was existing before. I am existing now. I will continue to exist later on also. And I am that God. Earlier I was atheist only till the point I understood that I am God. That is another philosophy. Sometimes it's written on the t-shirts. Earlier I was atheist until I understood I am God. So people come up with many different philosophies, but what is the true understanding, the real understanding? The Supreme Lord is the cause of everything, from whom everything emanated. He is maintaining everything, and he will continue to exist after this material world has disappeared from our eyes. So the next verse, Lord describe about his energies. Priteyartham yat pratiyet na pratiyet cha atmani tad avidyat atmano mayam yathabhaso yathatamaha. So, O Brahma, whatever appears to be of any value, but if it is without relation to me, has no reality. Priteyartham, it has no value. Yat pratiyet na pratiyet cha atmani. If something appears to be of valuable, but without relation to me, it has no value. Tad vidyad atmano mayam yatha bhaso yatha tamaha. So know it as my illusory energy. That reflection which appears to be in darkness. So all that understanding without knowledge of me is actually my illusory energy. So if we think something of some value, but without any relation to Krishna, actually it has no value. And same way, the opposite statement is also true. From materialistic point of view, something may be seemingly of no value, but if it is related with the Lord, if it is related to Krishna, then it is very valuable. Anything seemingly appearing to be of value to us, but it is not related with Krishna, we are not linking it with Krishna, it holds no value. And the energies of the Lord, how this verse is explaining the energies of the Lord? So Lord is saying, whatever all that knowledge is, in separation of me, that is my illusory energy. And whatever knowledge links the living entity to me, that is my yogamaya potency. So there is a mahamaya potency of the Lord and Yogamaya potency of the Lord. Mahamaya is, it facilitates the desire of the living entity in separation of Krishna. So again, Mahamaya is which facilitates the desire of living entity in separation of Krishna. If the living entity want to stay away from Krishna and want to enjoy within this material world, then it is covered up by Mahamaya, the illusory energy of the Lord, which is consisting of the three modes of material nature. But if the living entity is surrendering to Krishna, is trying to align his desire with the desire of Krishna, then he is under the protection of the Yogamaya potency, the internal potency of the Lord. So conception of detaching anything from its relationship with the Supreme Lord, that is called Lord's Devi Maya, Mahamaya. So jo hai, jo usko dhak de, aur jo nahi hai, usko dikha de, wo hai Maya. So whatever appears to be something real, but actually it is not there, that is Maya. For example, in the darkness, if somebody is going in a dark valley, in a dark alley, and in that darkness, if he see a rope also, sometimes he may think of that rope as a snake. Even though it is not a snake, it is a rope, but to him, it is appearing as if a snake. So that is illusion. But both the rope and the snake, they both exist. Both are real. Rope also exists. Snake also exists somewhere else. But he is perceiving that rope as a snake, which is illusion. So same way, in this material world, anything which is in separation of Krishna, that is illusion. This material world also is considered illusion, because when this material world is considered in separation of Krishna, but ultimately this material world is also real and Krishna is also real, the Supreme Lord is real, but thinking of this material world separate from Krishna is illusion. So Maya kya hai? Maya hai jo hai usko dhak de aur jo nahi hai usko dikha de. That is Maya. So Maya covers up the vision of living entity who want to stay away from Krishna. So avidya, that avidya is thinking ourselves to this body and not this eternal soul, that is avidya. So same way, this material world without Krishna is avidya. Even when somebody come to the level of vidya, come to the level of so-called understanding that I am not this body, I am the spirit soul, jivatma, still up to that level, it is still under the influence of Mahamaya only. Because it has not understood the relationship of jivatma with Paramatma. It has not understood, it has not come to the level of understanding it in relation with Krishna. So as long as something is in separation of Krishna, it is under the influence of illusory energy. And when it comes in terms of relationship with Krishna, then it becomes under the influence of Yogamaya potency. So how is Krishna's Yogamaya potency acts? Krishna's Yogamaya potency facilitates the desire of the Lord in his various leelas. When the Lord appears in this material world to perform various activities, the Yogamaya potency help facilitates those pastimes. For example, when Krishna as a little baby, he ate the mud, and when Mother Yashoda asked Krishna to open the mouth to show did he really eat the mud or not, and Krishna opened the mouth, Mother Yashoda was able to see all the universe within the mouth of Krishna. Apratiyet na pratiyet. So it shows Krishna's energy is what appears to be. It can hide that and it can show what doesn't appear to be. Apratiyet na apratiyet. And when Mother Yashoda was bewildered, so she was covered up by the Yogamaya potency to facilitate the pastimes of the Lord. So after this whole Leela happened, Mother Yashoda again forgot everything and started acting in a normal way, doing her household chores, thinking of my little Krishna, he's my little baby. So she was under the influence of Yogamaya potency, which is helping Lord to perform his Leela, facilitating the desire of the Lord. And Krishna, same way, showing the universal form to Arjuna. Arjuna desired, I want to see your universal form. So Krishna manifested his universal form. Then he manifested his four-handed form. And then Arjuna said, oh, I'm getting very scared. I want to see your two-handed beautiful Shyamasundara form. So the Yogamaya potency covered up that vision of the universal form and showed that two-handed form, revealed that two-handed form. So it is facilitating the desire of the Lord in the pastimes of the Lord. Brahma Vimohan Leela. Right? Brahma ji got all this knowledge and still when Lord Krishna as a small child is performing this pastime with the cowherd boys, he goes to herd the cows and calves and at the afternoon they sit down to eat lunch and Krishna is taking from the hands of others whatever has been eaten by them. Bhagwan unka jhutan lekar usko kha rahe and seeing that Brahma became completely bewildered. How can he be the Supreme Lord? Wo dusron ka uchishta jhutha kha rahe hain. So Brahma was covered up by the Yogamaya potency. Bhramit ho gaye Brahma ji and he came to steal all the boys, cowherd boys and the calves. He stole everybody, took him to his Satyaloka, hid them in the clouds, in the cave, and came back. And what did he see? Yogamaya potency. Pratiyet na pratiyet. He showed, Yogamaya potency showed what is not there and covered up what is there. All the cowherd boys and the calves were still present there. And Brahma became bewildered. And later on, all the cowherd boys and calves disappeared and it appeared as many Vishnu forms there. And then all the many Vishnu forms also disappeared and all the forms as many forms of Krishna. Krishna expanded in many forms appeared there. So this is all Yogamaya potency which covered up the vision of Brahma, facilitating the pastime of the Lord. Same way another wonderful Leela is Damodar Leela. Mother Yashoda is trying to bind Krishna with the rope. To Mother Yashoda, it appears in front of her, it is a small child. But still, she is not able to bind that small child. Even though she brings all the rope available in the whole Brajabhumi, ties all together, trying to bind Krishna, still is not able to bind Krishna. Because this is a Yogamaya potency. And ultimately Krishna accepts to be bound by Mother Yashoda. So same Krishna which was not bound by all that rope, now accepts to be bound by Mother Yashoda. Because based on its Yogamaya potency, he is showing to the devotee that I can be bound only by the love. When they do their own endeavor, I ultimately get bound by their love. So the Yogamaya potency of the Lord facilitates the desire of the Lord in his Leela. Whereas the Mahamaya, the illusory energy of the Lord, facilitates the desires of the living entity, trying to be separate from Krishna. So here in this verse, Lord is saying, whatever appears to be of any value, if it is not in relation with me, actually has no value. So in this world, we think so many things valuable to us. The name and fame, we give so much value to it. Wealth, our family, trying to find so-called happiness within this material world. But as long as all these things are not in relation with Krishna, they have no value. Somebody may try to become many, very famous within this material world. So-called scientists, the scholars, lawyers, film stars, Hollywood, Bollywood stars, sportspersons, politicians, they try to become famous in this material world. But how long that fame lasts? Maybe 50, 100, 200 years. After that, everybody forgets. So anything which appears to be of value, but it's not in relation with Krishna, it has no value. But on the contrary, something from the materialistic point of view seems to be of no value. But if it is in relation with Krishna, it is very valuable. The devotees of the Lord may be very insignificant from material point of view, but they have everlasting fame. So many great, great devotees in the recent history or in the old history, millions and millions of years old, people still know about them, people still read, hear, talk about them. Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj, Ambarish Maharaj, or in the recent history, Mirabai, Narasimha Mehta, all these great devotees, the Alavars of South, from South India. So people, all these people, even though may be very insignificant from material point of view, but because they are in relation with Krishna, holds great value. So same way, all our wealth, as long as we are trying to utilize that wealth in our own enjoyment, that wealth is meaningless. Ultimately, all that wealth will be left aside. Nobody can take that wealth with them when they leave this body. But the wealth which is in relation to Krishna, that is most valuable. The wealth of the holy name. Whatever holy name we chant, when we chant the holy name, we are depositing in the spiritual bank balance. And that bank balance keep increasing and it stays eternally. All our family members, if we are not seeing them as part and parcel of Krishna, if we think them of our own property, this is my wife, my son, my house, all these things, if they are in separation of Krishna, ultimately have no value. All that will be taken away from us eventually. But if we consider them, oh, they are also part and parcel of Krishna. They are given to me by Krishna as a gift to take care of them, to guide them, to advance in spiritual life. Then that all becomes very valuable. And same way, happiness. Everybody is trying to find this flickering happiness within this material world, which is so short and temporary. Nobody can find that real happiness. No matter how much we run behind this happiness, it just slips away from our hand. But when we engage in satisfying Krishna, we align our desires with the desires of Krishna, then one can attain everlasting peace and happiness. So without Krishna, we are all zero. No matter how many people may be there in our life, everybody is a zero. No matter how many zeros you put together, zero after zero after zero, ultimately it still remains zero. Until we put one in front of all those zeros, they are all meaningless. But as soon as we put one in front of them, then all those zeros become so meaningful. And that one is Krishna. When we add Krishna in front of all these zeros, if we keep Krishna in the front of all our activities, then all our activities become meaningful. But without Krishna, all our endeavor, all our achievement, all that name and fame, wealth, family, happiness is useless. So in this material world, everybody is trying to satisfy himself, but he is under the clutches of illusory energy. Krishna bhulya jiva bhoga vancha kare nikataste maya tare jhapatiya dhare. So Krishna bhulya jiva bhoga vancha kare. After forgetting Krishna, in separation of Krishna, the living entity is trying to enjoy. Nikataste maya tare. This maya, illusory energy, is standing nearby. This is like the witch standing nearby, trying to pound on you. As soon as you try to go away from Krishna, it pounces on you, chapatiya dhare, to control you, to influence you. So in this verse of Chaturshloki Bhagavatam, Lord is describing to Brahmaji that in this world, in separation of me, everything is covered by illusory energy. And whatever is in relation of me, that is my yogamaya potency. So pratiyet na pratiyet. To experience what is not there and to not experience what is there. These things happen because of illusory energy, mahamaya and yogamaya. So in the next verse, now Lord describe what is his relationship, how he is acting in relation to this energy. Yatha mahananti bhutani bhuteshu uccha avacheshu tanu pravishtanya apravishtani tatha teshu na teshvaham. Yatha mahanti bhutani. All these material elements, they enter into the cosmos. At the same time, they do not enter into the cosmos. Similarly, I myself exist within everything created and at the same time I am outside of everything. Now this is very confusing or contradictory verse in one sense. One may think, what is this Lord is trying to speak? All these material elements, they enter into the material creation and at the same time they do not enter. And then he says, I myself also exist within everything and at the same time I am outside of everything. So what is this all about? This seems to be a very contradictory statement. So this verse explains the relation of Lord and his energy. So the element, they enter into the creation, but at the same time, they are not. So what does it really mean? The elements being completely detached, they have no consideration if they are within this material creation or not. For example, just consider all the various forms within this material world, right? We say five elements of material creation, the mahanti bhutani, all these universal elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether. So everything is made up of these five elements. This body is made up of these five elements. So in this body, there is element of earth. But this earth element, even though it is within this body, this earth element is completely detached. If you tell this earth element that you are going to lose this form and you are going to get the form of a hog or you are going to get the form of a demigod. So for the earth element, it does not make any difference. The earth element does not become jubilated by hearing you are going to get into the form of a demigod. Or it does not get Moros hearing that, oh, you are going to get into the form of a hog. For the earth element, it does not make any difference because it is completely detached. For the living entity, for us, it makes a difference. You tell the person, the living entity, that, oh, you are going to become a hog or a demigod, there is an effect. But for the element itself, it does not make any difference. So that's why it says, even though these material elements enter into the creation, still they are not within the creation. At the same time, Lord is saying, even though I am existing everything, in everything, I exist within everything created, at the same time, I am outside of everything. So Jagadish, Jagat ke andar hai, और जगत जगदीश के अंदर है पर फिर भी जगदीश इज नॉट जगत. जगदीश जो है वो जगत नहीं है और जो जगत है वो जगदीश नहीं है. दिस इज वेरी मेटाफोरिकल स्टेटमेंट. जगत जगदीश के अंदर है और जगदीश जगत के अंदर है फिर भी जगत जगदीश के अंदर नहीं है और जगदीश जगत के अंदर नहीं है. सो हाउ इज दैट? व्हेन वी से Jagdish is inside Jagat. He is inside Jagat, but But it doesn't mean he is only inside Jagat. He is existing in his spiritual world also. And when we say Jagat is inside Jagdish, this material world is inside the Supreme Lord. But at the same time, this material world is not inside the Supreme Lord. Because if the material world is existing only within the Supreme Lord, is eternally existing within the Supreme Lord, when this material world is annihilated, the Supreme Lord still exists, but this material creation is not existing. So how to understand that? Just consider the example of water and waves. Jal and Tarang. So Jal ke andar Tarang hai, aur Tarang ke andar Jal bhi hai. Right? When you see the waves on the river or waves on the ocean, so we see there are waves in the river, in the water. And when there is wave, it means water is there in the wave. But at the same time, there is no wave in the water, and there is no water in the wave also. Because sometimes the water is completely still. So at that time, there is no wave. So in the water, there is no wave. And when there is no wave, it doesn't mean water does not exist. Water is still there. So the Supreme Lord enters within this material world, but at the same time, he is outside also existing. So through this verse, Lord is explaining that how I engage within my energies, how I engage with my material energy and how I engage with my spiritual energy. For the purpose of creation, I engage with the material energy. I am entering within this material world also, but I stay completely detached from this material world, as if I am not even there. As in Bhagavad Gita also, Lord Krishna says, right, in that Lord is described as Updrishta Anumantacha, that he is residing with all the living entities just as the observer and the sanctioner. Updrashta Anumantacha. So Lord is completely detached. He is just observing the activities of all the living entities and awarding their respective results. But he is completely detached. And Lord is existing outside of this material world, in his spiritual world, eternally in his spiritual form, having his reciprocation with all those Nitya Siddhas. So in the next verse, that is the final conclusion of the Chaturshloki verses. So after describing, answering these three questions of Brahma in a very Vedantic way, so Lord now finally gives how to get the realization. Because Lord said, I'm going to explain to you and you will be able to understand it with proper realization. So how to get the realization? Etavad eva jigyasam tattva jigyasuna atmanah anvayah vyatirekabhyam yatsayat sarvatra sarvada. So a student of all this knowledge, who is trying to understand this knowledge, tattva jigyasuna. So a person who is searching after the Supreme Absolute Truth must certainly search for this in all circumstances, in all space and time, both directly and indirectly. Anvaya vyatirekabhyam. Yat sayat sarvatra sarvada. So sarvatra, in all space and time. Sarvada, in all circumstances, both directly and indirectly. Anvaya vyatireka. So Krishna, Lord Vishnu, is describing to Brahma that one, you have to find out a process which will lead to the ultimate realization. So one may give a conclusion of this statement as, one should surrender to a guru who will give you the path by following which you will get the result. And if you follow that path, you will get all that result. And if you don't follow that path, you don't get the result. And that path should be followed in all circumstances, in all times. And what is that path? Right? What is that path by following which one can get the ultimate realization? So we need to understand what this anvaya and vyatireka means. Anvaya is directly the path which will give the result, and vyatireka is indirectly, not accepting that path will not give the result. So what is such path? If you accept that path, you will get the result. And if you don't accept that path and try to go with any other paths, you don't get the result. So directly and indirectly, anvaya vyatireka. So for example, if somebody want to understand what gives the sweetness in the sweet rice. So for example, if you are making the sweet rice and there is somebody else comes there who doesn't know anything about the sweet rice and want to understand what is the element, what is the ingredient which actually gives the sweetness. So for example, if somebody is cooking sweet rice and somebody from a different part of the world, South America, he comes and want to understand what gives the sweetness to this sweet rice, and he want to go through all the ingredients. What are the major ingredients? There is milk, there is rice, there is sugar. So out of all these elements, what actually gives sweetness? So one method is anvaya, a direct perception. He want to taste all the ingredients individually and find out what gives the sweetness. So he tastes rice. Oh, rice does not have sweetness. He tastes the milk. Oh, milk does not give sweetness. Then he tastes the sugar. That, oh, sugar is the one which gives the sweetness. So anvaya, by that method, one gets to that conclusion that sugar is the one which gives sweetness to the sweet rice. There's another method, vyatireka, indirectly, by not accepting the element. So that method, with that method, one leaves out one ingredient at a time and try to find out if by the absence of that element will I get the sweetness or not. Right? And in that way, leaving one ingredient at a time, try to figure out what actually gives sweetness. So he takes milk and rice, put together milk and rice and cooks it and tastes it. That, okay, without the sugar there is no sweetness. But before that, if he took the sugar and the milk and put together, even though it's not proper sweet rice, but just took those ingredients, the sweetness is still there. Even though the rice is missing, but the sweetness is there. And then he take the sugar and the rice without milk, put it together. Yes, still the sweetness is there. But when he cook the sugar and rice together, then the sweetness is there. But when he left the sugar aside, just use the rice and the milk, there is no sweetness. So with that method, indirectly, one came to the understanding this element, in absence of this element, there is no result. There is no sweetness. So here, Lord is saying, find out that process. Accepting it will give the result and not accepting it will not give the result. And that process can be followed sarvatra sarvada, in all places, in all circumstances, at all times. So the acharyas conclude with reference to all the various shastric injunctions that what is that process which gives the ultimate realization and which gives the ultimate end result of understanding the Supreme Lord in its tattvatah, in completeness. So quoting the one verse, that process, ultimately that process is the bhakti yoga. By following the process of bhakti yoga, which can be forward in all places, all times, all circumstances. There is no other process which can be forward sarvatra sarvada. So for example, Narad Muni, he is telling Vyasadev that even if somebody has given up all his varnashram dharma, he has given up his material occupation, but engages in the devotional service of the Lord, even though sometime he may fall down, yet there is no danger of his being unsuccessful. But on the other side, a non-devotee, even though he is perfectly engaging in his occupational duties, in his varnashrama duties, but he is not doing a devotional service to the Lord, he does not gain anything. So, Vyatireka criteria is, absence of devotional service does not give the desired result. Like the absence of sugar does not give the sweetness. So same way, absence of devotional service does not give the desired result. But the Anvaya criteria is presence of devotional service. It gives the desired result. So even though one is not performing his so-called duties based on varna and ashrama, he has completely engaged in devotional activities. He has fully surrendered his life in service of Krishna. He will get the complete success. He will get the ultimate desired result. So presence of devotional service gives the desired result. Absence of devotional service does not give the desired result. So this is one reference in relation to Varnashrama, which is given by Narad Muni to Vyasadeva. Same way, in 10th canto of Bhagavatam, there is a verse come which says, any activity that somebody is performing which is not in relation with Krishna, this is like beating up of an empty husk. No matter how much somebody beat up the empty husk, it does not give any wheat. So here it says, my dear Lord, the devotional service unto you is the best path of self-realization. If somebody gives up that path and engages in the cultivation of knowledge, speculative knowledge, or he simply undergoes many troublesome process of dhyana, ashtanga yoga, etc., he will not get his desired result. As a person who beat an empty husk of wheat cannot get any grain. So one simply speculate for achieving self-realization, he cannot get self-realization. His only gain is trouble. So what this verse is saying is, if somebody does not add the element of bhakti, if the bhakti is missing, right? So Vyatireka criteria, if the element of bhakti is missing, it does not give the desired result. If the sugar is missing, it does not give the sweetness. But if bhakti is present, it can give the result of everything, of all other activities. But without bhakti, if somebody takes to the process of karma, jnana, dhyana, one cannot get the complete self-realization. He is inviting trouble only. So if somebody is trying to gain some knowledge, if somebody is reading Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, which is devotional scripture, but if somebody does not have the element of bhakti and trying to read Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, just based on mental speculation, one cannot get that real understanding, but cannot get the proper self-realization. But even without reading Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, somebody engaging in the process of bhakti can ultimately gain the desired success. So somebody does not have karma or jnana or dhyana, only the element of bhakti is there, still it can give the complete success. It can bring somebody to the level of self-realization. But if bhakti is missing, in the presence of all the jnana and dhyana and all, still the desired result is missing. So again, anvaya vyatireka. Presence of bhakti gives result. Absence of bhakti does not give result. Now another example. In 11th canto, when Lord Krishna is speaking to Uddhava, so So he's saying everything, whatever can be achieved by karma, fruitive activities, by tapasa, by penances, by the knowledge. So yat karma bhir tapasa jnana vairagya chayat yogena dana dharmena shayobhir tarairapi sarva mad bhakti yogena mad bhakto labhate anjasah swarga apavarga mad dhama kaschit yadi vanchati. So my devotee can attain everything. If somebody engages in the process of bhakti, he can get the result of all other things. Whatever somebody can attain based on karma, jnana, tapa, vairagya, yajna, dana, any sort of pious activities, all the result of those activities one can attain by engaging in devotional service. But the devotee can attain even more than that. Devotee can attain the result of even up to attaining the spiritual world also, which cannot be attained by all other processes. So again, here, Anvaya and Vyatireka criteria, presence of bhakti can give the desired result, and absence of bhakti, while all other things are present, still does not give the desired result. And same way in Bhagavad Gita, 8th chapter, the concluding verse of 8th chapter also indicating same thing. Vedeshu yagyeshu tapascheva daneshu yat punyafalam pradishtam atyeti tat sarvam idam viditva yogi param sthanam upeti chadhyam. So a person who accepts the path of devotional service is not bereft of the results which can be acquired by studying the Vedas, performing the yajnas, performing the austerities, doing charity. So whatever result can be achieved by these activities, these processes, devotional service can give the result of everything. But devotional service can give beyond that also. One can attain the spiritual world. One can reach the supreme eternal abode. So presence of devotional service gives the desired result, but the absence of devotional service does not give the desired result. Akama sarva kamova moksha kama udharadi tivrena bhakti yogena yajate purusham param. If somebody is desiring material benefit, or if somebody is free from any desire, or if somebody is desiring liberation, in all situations, one should engage in the devotional service of the Lord. Tivrena bhakti yogena jajate purusham param. So, with reference to all these verses, all these shlokas from the scriptures, one comes to the conclusion, what is that process which can ultimately give the desired result, which can ultimately give the actual realization? So that is bhakti yoga. So Lord Vishnu to Brahma Ji, in a very cryptic way, he is describing the process of realization. That if you really want to realize all this knowledge about me, what is the process you need to follow, which by directly and indirectly gives you that realization. And that process can be followed sarvatra sarvada, in all circumstances, at all times and places. So far we discussed that direct and indirect presence of bhakti give desired success. We have still not discussed about sarvatra sarvada. So one of the other criteria is sarvatra sarvada. It can be executed in all time, places, circumstances. So there is a very beautiful verse from Vishnu Dharma which says, na desha niyamas tatra, na kala niyamas tatha. No uchishtadu nishedhu asti shri harer namni lubdhakaha. So na desha niyamas tatra, there is no consideration of place. Na kala niyamas tatra, there is no consideration of time. So there is no place where one can say, I cannot engage in any limb of devotional service. The devotional service has many limbs. Shravanam Kirtanam Samaranam Vishnu, Shravanam Kirtanam Samaranam Archanam Vandanam Sakyam Dasyam Atma Nivedanam. So all these are the limbs of devotional service. Hearing about the Lord, chanting the holy name, remembering the Lord. So there is no place in the whole creation where one can say, I cannot execute any of the limbs of devotional service. There could be places where one can say, oh, I cannot engage in dhyana, or I cannot engage in karma yoga. But there is no place where one can say, I cannot engage in any of the limbs of devotional service. Or one cannot say, oh, I can do devotional service only in this place, not at that place. I can chant the holy name in Bharat only. I cannot chant in America or Russia. No, one can chant the holy name at all the places in the whole creation. So there is no consideration of desha, place. Then, na kala nimastatha. There is no consideration of time. One cannot say, oh, this is the only time when I can engage in devotional service. At other times, I cannot engage. Or one cannot say, chanting of the holy name can be done at this particular time only. It cannot be done at the other times. At 12 o'clock midnight, that is not a auspicious time to chant the holy name. The holy name of the Lord can be chanted at any time, at any place, in all circumstances. Right? There's a pastime of Hanumanji. Once Hanumanji was going to meet Lord Ram, and on the way, he heard somebody was chanting, Ram, Ram. So Hanuman thought, oh, let me see who is chanting the name of Ram, my worshipable Lord. So actually this person, he approached his guru that, oh, I don't get any time to engage in devotional service. I don't find any time. And guru said, while you are relieving yourself, jab aap apna vishta pass kar rahe ho, us samay par hi bhagwan ka naam le lo, agar aur koi samay nahi hai. Jab aap apna sanan kar rahe ho, sirf us time le lo. Us time pe to kar sakte ho. So this person said, yes, while I am in the restroom, I am attending the call of nature. That time I am not doing anything else. Yes, that time I can definitely chant the name of the Lord. So this person was sitting in restroom, attending the call of nature and chanting Ram, Ram. And Hanumanji thought, oh, let me see who is this person chanting the name of my worshipable Lord. I should meet him before I move forward. So he went there. Awaz aa kahan se raha hai? And then he saw this sound is coming from inside the restroom. He went inside. How dare you are chanting the name of my Lord in such a filthy place? So he gave a big slap on his face and he came back. As he approached Lord Ram, Lord Ram's face was so he was having the reddish mark on his face. And he asked Lord Ram, what happened? And Lord Ram said, you hit me. And Hanuman said, how come I hit you? I can never hit you. And Lord said, my devotee, he was chanting my holy name. And I am present in my holy name. As the name was in his mouth, it is like I am present on his tongue. And you slap that person. And it is like that slap. I experienced that slap on my face. And the Lord instructed Hanuman that my holy name can be chanted in any circumstance, at any place. So there is no kala niyamastatha, no desha niyamastatra. There is no consideration of place. There is no consideration of time. There is another beautiful pastime from Chaitanya Charitamrita or Chaitanya Leela. There is one small boy, Gopal. Once he met another devotee of the Lord, this person was so much engaged in chanting of the holy name that he could not stop his tongue from vibrating the name of the Lord at any time. And once he saw this person holding on to his tongue and going somewhere, he asked, why are you holding on to your tongue? He said, oh, I'm going to attend the call of the nature. So I do not want to chant the holy name at that filthy place. So I'm holding on to my tongue because my tongue cannot stay without vibrating the name of the Lord. And this child, Gopal, he told him, why are you holding your tongue? You can chant the name of the Lord at any time. And what happens to you? What if you lose your life while attending nature's call, what will happen? What will your end result? So the holy name can be chanted at any time. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard that the statement of this boy, Gopal, he was very pleased with him and he gave him the title Gopal Guru. You are the guru. You are giving the right principle that the holy name can be chanted at any place, at any time, in any circumstance. Na uchchishtado nidesho asti. So there is no consideration of purity or impurity for engaging in other processes. There has to be some level of purity, or at least there has to be some level of shraddha. Even for the other limbs of devotional service, if somebody is engaging in deity worship, so there has to be some cleanliness, some purity. After eating something, one cannot just directly go on the altar and engage in worshipping the deities because of the jutan in the mouth. But the holy name of the Lord can be chanted even in that situation. After eating also, one can say Jai Radhe Radhe, Jai Shri Krishna, Hare Krishna. So the holy name can be chanted even in that state. There is no consideration of purity or impurity. So ultimately the point is all other processes, be it the Karma Yoga or Jnana Yoga or Dhyana Yoga, to engage in those processes, one has to have some sort of faith or Shraddha to begin with. But the process of Bhakti, one can start to execute even without any prior Shraddha, prior faith. Just engaging in the process of bhakti itself will develop that faith, that shraddha. So how is that? Because the example of chanting the holy name even unknowingly, scripture says if somebody chants the holy name unknowingly in all these different situations, still he gets the result. All the sinful reaction can be eradicated. Sankethyam parihasyam va stobham helanam eva va vaikuntha nama grahanam asheshabdaharam vidhu. This is from the sixth canto of Bhagavatam. There is a reference to this verse. It says, Sankethyam parihasyam va. If somebody chants the holy name just by trying to indicate something else, Sankethyam. He is not really chanting the holy name. He chanted the name indicating something. Rama, Krishna, he is calling out to somebody, indicating about something, and he chanted the holy name. Sanketyam, Parihasyam, he is jokingly chanting the holy name. Sometimes somebody may mock up the devotees, right? Make fun of the devotees. Ah, you are chanting Hare Krishna, does your Krishna gives you anything? Have you seen your Krishna? Somebody is making fun of the devotees and jokingly chanting the name, that also gives the result. Stobham, musical entertainment, helanam, or even neglectfully. Vaikuntha nama grahanam, if somebody has chanted the name of Vaikunthapati, the Supreme Lord, in all these situations also, jokingly indicating to something, neglectfully, as a musical performance, entertainment, in that situation also, all the sinful reaction of the persons are eradicated. So slowly, by chanting the holy name, the Shraddha develops in the heart. So there is no prior Shraddha, prior faith needed to execute the devotional service. Another example is eating prasad. So not knowing that this is prasad, somebody is just accepting that as food and eats that food and appreciate that. Either he appreciate the people who are distributing the food, he is appreciating the food itself. He gets the Ajnata Sukriti. And that Ajnata Sukriti leads to development of Shraddha, the development of faith. And the person eventually comes to the process of devotional service. So for example, devotees may be distributing food, right? There is some situations, some calamity is there, some hurricane or something, and in the affected area, devotees are doing this service of giving out food, annadan. And this person who doesn't know this is prasad, he just considers it as free food. You know, this is very nice in this situation. You're distributing this free food. Even though this is free food, still you are giving so many varieties. So nicely you are preparing this food. So tasty. Not knowingly it is prasad. He accepted that food. कि आप फ्री में खाना दे रहे हो, मुझे तो कहीं और से भी मिल जाता तो मैं खा लेता, बट यू आर डूइंग इट, इट इज वेरी नाइस. सो ही अप्रिशिएटेड दैट, ही गेट्स द अज्ञात सुकृति. एंड द रिजल्ट ऑफ अज्ञात सुकृति इज इट विल लीड टू द डिवेलपमेंट ऑफ श्रद्धा, डिवेलपमेंट ऑफ फेथ. एंड द पर्सन विल इवेंचुअली कम टू द लेवल ऑफ डिवोशनल सर्विस. सो ऑल अदर प्रोसेसेस, ज्ञान कर्म आदि, they need some prior faith to get the best result out of that. But bhakti itself can help in development of faith. And this process of bhakti can be executed in all places, all circumstances, at all time. There is no consideration of time, place, circumstance. In Bhagavatam, Shukdev Goswami already has described to Parikshit Maharaj, tasmat sarvatmana rajan, हरि सर्वत्र सर्वदा श्रोतव्य कीर्तितव्यश्च स्मर्तव्यो भगवान निराणाम. दैट वन शुड एंगेज इन द डिवोशनल सर्विस ऑफ द लॉर्ड सर्वत्र सर्वदा. हु इज प्रेजेंट सर्वत्र, एवरीवेयर, इन ऑल सर्कमस्टेंसेस. एंड व्हाट काइंड ऑफ सर्विस वन शुड एंगेज इन टू? श्रोतव्य कीर्तितव्य स्मर्तव्य. हियरिंग अबाउट द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड, chanting the name, chanting the glories of the Lord, remembering the Supreme Lord, these activities can be done sarvatra sarvada. And what are these activities? These are the limbs of devotional service. Even by chanting of the holy name, the resident of Narka can be released and they can be directly delivered to the spiritual world. That is the potency of the holy name. So there is no consideration of place. If the residents of hellish planet somehow get to hear the holy name, they chant the holy name, they not only get relieved from the hellish situation, they can directly attain the spiritual world. And even the animals can be delivered. Like the pastime of Shivananda Sen in Chaitanya Leela, all the devotees from Mayapur, they are going to Jagannath Puri to meet the Lord. And all this party of 200 people is going to Jagannath Puri, and a dog start walking behind this party. And Shivananda Sen, who is leading this party, he looks at this dog and he thinks, oh, this dog is also going to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he facilitates that, let's take this dog also, keep this dog also with us. And he feed the dog, and this dog is walking with the devotees, and all they are chanting the holy name, and ultimately this dog leaves his body and he attains to the spiritual world. So there's no consideration. Anybody can chant the holy name, anybody can participate, even the animals can be delivered. So only the process of bhakti is the one who can give the ultimate realization of the Supreme Lord, and this process can be executed in all places, circumstances, at time. And this is what Lord is indicating to Brahma, that execute that process. So that is the Chatur Shloki Bhagavatam, the seed verses of Bhagavatam. And after explaining this, Lord is indicating to Brahma what is, how you should execute this knowledge now. Oh Brahma, just follow this conclusion with determination, with your fixed concentration of mind. And in that way, no pride will disturb you. So what was Brahma's request? Along with all these questions, Brahma had requested, please tell me how I can protect myself from the influence of the lower modes of ignorance and passion. How I can protect myself from not getting proud of all these achievements, all these activities. So the Lord is saying, answering to Brahma's request, he is saying, follow this conclusion. What is the conclusion? Engaging in the process of devotional service in all places, all time, circumstances, with determination, fixed concentration of mind, and in that way you will be able to stay away from any pride. No pride will enter into you, no pride will disturb you, neither in the partial nor in the final devastation. It will not disturb you during your life, whole lifespan. So that is what we should follow as the instruction of the Lord, to protect ourselves from the influence of these lower modes of passion, ignorance. We should sincerely, with full concentration and determination, engage in this process of bhakti, engage in this process of shravanam, kirtanam, smaranam, shrotavya, kirtitavya, smartavyascha, sarvatra sarvada, in all circumstances, in all time and places. So finally, Shukdev Goswami concludes that. Now the camera comes back to Shukdev Goswami Parikshit Maharaj. So he is saying, Lord instructed to Brahma like that, and after he instructed to Brahmaji, Lord disappeared from the vision of Brahma. And Brahma took the words of the Lord to his heart, and he, with his folded hands, paying obeisances to the Lord, he engaged in the process of creation to execute the instruction of the Supreme Lord. And how this knowledge continued further, the knowledge which Lord gave to Brahma, how this knowledge continued further. So Narad Muni, he also pleased Brahmaji with his behavior, with his gentle mood, with his execution of the nice service. He pleased Brahma and he requested Brahma to provide him the knowledge. And Brahma, being pleased by the gentle behavior of Narad Muni, he spoke that same knowledge which was given by the Supreme Lord, which was imparted by the Lord to Brahma. He imparted that same knowledge to Narad Muni, which deals with the 10 subject matter. And that Narad Muni, after he gained that knowledge, he passed on that knowledge to Vyasadeva at the banks of Saraswati, when Vyasadeva was absorbed in the process of dhyana for the purpose of compiling all the Vedic literature. So Narad Muni appeared there and he gave that knowledge to Vyasadeva. And I heard that same knowledge from Vyasadeva, my father. I gained that knowledge. So everybody passed on that knowledge by expanding it further. Lord gave Chatur Shloki, the seed verses of Bhagavatam. Brahmaji expanded, Narad Muni expanded further, and Vyasadeva expanded further by adding the realization, by adding the various incarnations and his activities. So Shukdev Goswami is saying, I received that same knowledge from Vyasadeva, who had heard it from Narad Muni, who had heard it from Brahmaji, who had heard it from the Supreme Lord. And I am going to speak that knowledge to you in answer to all your questions. The final conclusion is, the knowledge should be received in a disciplic succession, directly coming from the Supreme Lord. One cannot just concoct that knowledge, somebody thinking of sitting in a cave or sitting in Himalayas, I will just somehow automatically get that knowledge. One has to receive that knowledge in a proper, bona fide, disciplic succession coming from the Supreme Lord. So all the questions of the living entity can be answered by hearing that knowledge. All the doubts can be eradicated. So Shukdev Goswami is answering the questions of Parikshit Maharaj by quoting the vision of the Supreme Lord, by quoting the instructions given by the Supreme Lord. So this discussion is going to further continue. Now Shukdev Goswami is going to elaborate more on Bhagavatam. What are the 10 subject matters of Bhagavatam? So we'll stop here and we'll continue next time with the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, describing the 10 subject matter that ग्रंथराज भागवतम की जय, श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय, अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। थैंक यू वेरी मच। इफ एनीबडी हैज एनी क्वेश्चंस और कमेंट्स। Any questions or comments or any question on the Facebook Live? Okay, so if no questions, we'll end it here. Grantharaj Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.